We are going to end with a review, and we are going to go through some things again. You already know Steve. I need to introduce Dennis Whitchelms. He's with the Department of Economics at Hanover College in Indiana. He has been a resource economist. He's worked with farmers at Broadview Irrigation District, introduced tier pricing for water. Farmers that used more water than what they should have were charged a higher price, or that's one way of saying it. He and I have been writing papers now since 2003 that have posed the possibility that irrigated agriculture always is predicated on a water right. And that's, we heard a talk here earlier today about State Water Resources Control Board, etc. It's unfortunate that the recognition that that irrigation brings about a need for drainage wasn't coupled with the fact that the water right was coupled to a salt disposal right. Had there been a salt disposal right, the Bureau of Reclamation would have built the canal, because the state of California and the federal government would have arranged a salt disposal right before Westlands Irrigation District started. But the horse is out of the barn. It's a great idea, something that could be considered for the future for irrigated projects that are coming about. And then there is this business about the cost, which is the second paper. And that second paper was the product of looking at irrigated acreage and along the Colorado River and a desalting plant and its extraordinary costs, and then the problem with the in-valley and out-of-valley disposal in the San Joaquin Valley. We published a paper where the numbers in it were already high, probably too high for farmers to pay, and as of about 3 weeks ago, the numbers we published were off by a factor of three. They've tripled. So, on then to the story. These costs are high enough now that the direct costs and the environmental costs probably exceed what farmers within an irrigation district are willing to pay. So let's move on. I've covered that. In California, when you deal with salt disposal, the salt disposal in rivers is regulated. That's not the clear case for groundwater. And that's the opening that we're going to go into the future. As the state wrestles with how in the world they're going to regulate groundwater and salt disposal into it, we're in the process of doing it. We've been doing it for decades. The rate is only going to accelerate. The fundamental issues of how you managed salt and drainage water have long been understood. They've been worked on for decades. But the environmental impacts became quite apparent with the selenium reservoir problem. And we've all learned now that the environmental costs of salt disposal can be very high. Now, when we deal with regulations, the plan for discharge of water and salt into rivers and groundwaters usually involves off-farm impacts, and regulatory agencies are mandated to protect water quality for users downstream, but they right now don't have a clear mandate for the users into the future, and that's the salt disposal into the groundwater. Now, the Australians have been there, and they, along their Murray-Darling Basin, which is along that great basin of the southern part of Australia, going basically from Canberra to Adelaide, about 20 years ago started down the road of, you get water, you get salt, you're entitled to the water, but you keep the salt. Don't let it get back into the river. And they've gone through that, Jim, about two cycles now of expanding that, and making it more definitive and wrestling with the problems that have been generated. And they use all the techniques that that have been discussed here to keep that salt that was part of the water that came onto the irrigation district within the irrigated area. They use reuse drainage water for irrigation. They've converted their open channels to pipe water systems. They use salt interception and disposal systems within the district. They don't have a problem with selenium. They're disposing sodium chloride, by and large, a relatively good economical, a salt that has good economic value. We're trying to dispose of sodium sulfate. It's hard to sell that one. It's not got much economic value. But here is a country that's been there. It's got four or five states in this agreement, and they're already doing what we're about learning how to do. Well, we've seen this. This is a really quick system. I want to go through this very fast. We've had it introduced to us earlier today. The 650,000 acres basically are in that area. This was the San Joaquin, San Luis drain. Where water comes into this area out of the pumps just south of the delta. And that water is about three tenths of a gram per liter of salt, which is about a half a ton per acre foot. The soils were saline. And as a result of that, in 1976, there was a construction of a drainage canal that ended in the Kesterson Reservoir. This is the San Luis drain, and this picture was taken. I took this picture back in the early 80s. Basically, the site had been closed, and they were getting ready to reclaim this area. The cost, what was that, Nigel? About $10 million, or was it $20 million to reclaim that? It was in the multi-millions, though, if I remember right. Now, that was all closed because of selenium toxicosis. And as a result of, and to close it, they had to go back to these drainage systems that had been built. And these are collectors. They opened those dug ditches down in the collectors and took out a section and replaced it with a board here and a board there and a block of wood in between. They did that on, I think, something like every 3 feet change in elevation. And that plugged the system. So consequently, when they said Kesterson is closed, this is how they closed it. They had to go back to the source and plug the drainage system. Now let's fast forward to 2007. We have now, at this conference about 3 weeks ago, the Bureau of Reclamation director, assistant director, stood up, basically announced that the In Valley solution was their preferred solution. In other words, salt disposal within the irrigated area, the Australian approach. The cost of which was $2.6 billion for a drainage problem area of about 380,000 acres. Calculates out to about $7,000 per acre. And that would basically remove the land, and the option that has come up now is basically in Westlands quickly. Well, I gotta start over again. I gotta get back off in the neutral. These costs are quite high. Westland's Board of Directors recognizes that if the federal government provided that system, built it out, they would have to pay. The federal government is responsible for providing a system. It's not responsible for paying for it. That would be charged back. Now, the government has ways of subsidizing things like this. So now, if the cost of land for Westlands Irrigation District to buy it out is about $2,500 per acre, and they're looking at a cost coming at them of about $7,000 per acre, you begin to think of the options, and Westlands is thinking, and they're negotiating. There's one other thing about this that goes on. The Westlands was never given a full allocation of water. It was a supplemental irrigation system from the start. So there was going to be pumping of groundwater. The salts were going to continue to percolate down, as Jan Hopmans has basically told us today. That water next year sells for $150 an acre foot. One section of retired land at 1 acre feet is $100,000 worth of water. And you get the right to sell it if you pay $2,500 an acre. Not next year, not only next year, but for years following on. And Jim is right. You've got to do something with this land you retire. David Cohn told me it costs about $15 an acre to disc it. It's going to have to be disced once a year. So another thing that you need to think of as the farmers struggle with what they're going to do with this proposed in-valley solution. Yes, we've seen the picture before. That's Broadview. That was the last production year was 2004. I took this photograph beginning part of September, towards the middle or end of September this year. So that had been out of production in 2005, 6, and most of 7. That's about 10,000 acres. Now, if I go back, the airplane is basically over Mendota. It's right here. If I fly, I flew another 30 miles south and turned the airplane around and took this picture, and Mendota's up there. And the contrast of the east side of the San Joaquin Valley and its irrigation production that was underway this year compared to what's on this side couldn't be clearer. And not only has Westlands bought out 100,000 acres, and this photograph basically coincides with the acres they've taken out according to the map on their website, I've been told they're in the market for another 100,000 acres. Now we're basically near Cantua Creek on this photograph, looking towards the northwest. Now it's going to cost them some money to till that. This year, the marginal price for water, and a limiting water year for the almond orchards upslope was $500 an acre foot. These farmers know that water has value. Now, will that land come back to production, or will there be other uses for the water? The bottom bullet. The salts generated by irrigation on the remaining area will be disposed in underlying strata and in the profiles of low-lying soils along the valley trough. Right now, there is nothing in the regulatory rule book that's preventing that. If we go north and start looking towards Mendota to the north, now we're in the success story of Jerry Johns. Jerry Johns is the assistant director of the Department of Water Resources, and at this conference a few weeks ago, he announced that keeping salts out of the San Joaquin River was a huge success story. And these lands and their drainage waters are heading to the San Joaquin River. They've been constrained, so they've been starting to plant Jose wheatgrass, they're starting to recycle, they're starting to hold back the salts from getting in the river to meet the TMDLD objectives of the river. On irrigated lands, that these lands, then in-valley disposal is becoming an important option as the State Water Resources Control Board limits salt and selenium discharge into the river. And the districts will slowly develop through tiered water pricing and other techniques that are in the toolbox to allocate these costs of disposal fairly among farmers within the district. How could that be done? There are methods of estimating crop ET. There are other methods that are being worked on, and we've published papers in Ag Water Management that deal with it, of actual measurement of crop ET in a real time on a field scale basis. The irrigation records are kept at the district office for each field. You know how much water is applied to a field? You subtract off your crop ET, and there's an estimate of drainage. That drainage water can be occurring upslope, heading down towards the trough of the valley. That farmer contributes to the drainage problems as much as the farmer that has to wrestle with a high water table in the valley. The board of directors has sufficient information on that basis to allocate the cost of drainage for cost of salt disposal within the district. Now, they may want to combine with other districts because their boundaries don't often exactly coincide with the boundary conditions on the district size. Okay, salt disposal. Its disposal within districts is going to increase in the future. It's going to be disposed of in underlying regolith and into the groundwaters beneath irrigated lands. And that's in response to existing regulations. There will be improved irrigation as a result of the cost of those disposals are high enough. But the farmers are going to be very interested in techniques, and they know them, to improve their water, the ways they use their water. You talk to a farmer and tell him, you know, there are ways of improving your water, and he'll turn around and tell you right up, I know all about them. I don't need you to tell me how to improve how to manage my water. So they well know how to do it. It just hasn't been quite, the incentives out there haven't been quite right, or maybe quite wrong, depending upon your viewpoint in this business. Water allocation. What wasn't said today that there are two decisions from the courts that have changed water allocation in California in a very significant way. A third less water is going to be pumped to Southern California next year, south of the Delta. That includes farmers south of the Delta, it includes Los Angeles. That's because of fish kills. Another judge on the San Joaquin River has decided the San Joaquin River has to be restored to a stream that can have fish in it. So as that administrative decision comes down, it's going to reduce the water diverted into the Frying Kern system. So water allocation in the future, I've given on my notes an up arrow to fish. Now on the side, I put legal and environment in quotes. Municipalities are going to get more water because of population growth. It almost means, because we're not in a business of developing more water, that farmers and irrigation will get less into the future. And that, in all of this, there has to be some increased awareness of the shared responsibilities we all have in the management of the water and in the environmental impacts that are the result of using it. Thank you very much.
You're going to put your salt disposal system. And I would argue that the current water laws and the current regulatory laws would mean that the district should be interested in going up as far as they can. Because if they can show that their water isn't getting directly back into the river, the State Water Resources Control Board can't control it. If they put their disposal works next to the river, they're going to be regulated. I don't know whether I answered your question then. But I think this is, what troubles me in this business is that
it's as though we're in a system where, from the agriculture use side, we're responding. And we're left with, they are left with taking advantages of where the loopholes are. And then as time goes on, they're going to slowly close the loopholes. Now, where does that leave us? Well, we continue down a road that has a continually shifting target for closure. I don't know. To me, it seems like we're in a reactive mode in the farming community, whereas the environmentalists are in a proactive mode. Right now, they're kind of in the silence. I tried very hard to indicate that I anticipate this is coming. And for people like Matt and others, the question is, do I help you go there? because we're in a state that doesn't have any water right control on pumping groundwater. So you can't really come back and say, you're allocating so much water for the groundwater. So we have farmers this year, I've been told by the people in the valley that are really in the know, that have paid $800,000 for a well. Not one, but quite a number. And they're going to do what the farmers did in the 40s and 50s. They're going to lower the water table. And that's going to suck those salts on down. In the meantime, there are those that are going to work on how in the world to put a basin plan in effect that includes groundwater regulation without licensing the well. And at this stage of the game, if I'd have said that in front of a farming audience, I would have been out on the street in no less than about 5 seconds.